Ignite your potential and fuel your fire within. I am Ryan Stevens, and I'm here to help you own your spark with the Catalyzing Podcast. Let's do this. Welcome back to another episode of the Catalyzing Podcast, your guide for insights to help elevate your career and to enhance and ignite the people around you as part of your workplace team. I'm Ryan Stevens, and I am excited to bring you Stuck, Stalled, and Stagnant: Storytelling to Enhance Your Career, featuring Stan Miller, my friend, the founder of StoryKate. And in this episode, we're going to be diving into things that we don't typically think about when it comes to our communication style. We're going to talk about, first of all, you know, how Stan and I connected and our common thread with the Simon Sinek Start With Why course and how that impacted our careers. And we're going to unpack the power of storytelling and why we should aim to communicate through story, making others the hero, not just when we're looking for jobs and we're trying to negotiate things, but also just when you're communicating with your team and why that's important. And what about the anatomy of a good story? We're going to talk about the four P's of a good story and different types of story as well, too, that we can learn from to use in our communication. Stuck, Stalled, and Stagnant. Again, we're coming back to that. You know, what about overcoming these moments, these valleys in our career, both as an individual and as a workplace team? How do we overcome those through our stories and learn from that? And what about the power of vulnerability? We're going to get into that. We've been talking about that in a few episodes recently, especially not just individually, but also in leadership and on team dynamics. How do you empower a culture of storytelling and open communication within your workplace that helps you to learn from one another? And finally, we're going to give some tips to help unlock the next level of your career through the power of storytelling. A little bit about Stan. Stan is the founder of StoryKate, as I mentioned, and this is a entity where he helps professionals unlock the next level of their careers through the power of storytelling. From middle management to C-level executives, his 20-year journey has taught him one crucial lesson: the power of a well-told story. And today, as a seasoned mentor, he empowers professionals to transform their experiences into inspiring narratives. Through his storytelling framework, hundreds have reframed their stories, earning promotions and pivoting to more fulfilling work. They've learned how to articulate their value and connect authentically with their audience. Stan's information is in the show notes. You can contact him, connect with him on LinkedIn. You can also reach him at www.storykate.com or on Instagram and Facebook at Career Storyteller. So check out Stan's stuff. Make sure you connect with him online. I'm excited to bring you this episode. Enjoy. Friends, today we have a really awesome episode, a topic that we've never really dove into before. And I have on here my friend Stan Miller, who is someone who helps professionals unlock the next level of their careers through the power of storytelling. He just has become such an expert in not only what storytelling is, but how to effectively utilize it in our personal lives and our careers as we want to seek new job opportunities or just grow within the companies we have. So Stan, I am so excited to have you on the Catalyzing Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, hey, Ryan, I am so grateful for you and to be here with you today, and that you would just give me your platform and lend me your platform to share my message of storytelling. So thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's been nearly a decade since Stan and I actually were in the same room together where we first met in New York City at a Simon Sinek Start With Why workshop, which was absolutely amazing. Stan, I know you remember that workshop well. What was something that stood out that kind of carried with you beyond that workshop that was so valuable in your career?
Yeah, so I love that you asked that question, because it was such a pivotal moment in my life. Mm-hmm. I was working at a startup, and I had entered there. I mean, how I got into that was incredible. I got denied entry because it was full.
Yeah.
And I sent a message to the host and said, hey, if you get a last minute cancellation, please consider me a yes up to 3 hours in advance of the event. Now, I'm in Florida. The mm-hmm. event was in New York, as you know.
Right.
And so I did get that email 2 days before the event, and they said, someone canceled. I said, I'm in, and I made it there. But what stood out the most to me is when we were called up, and it was, I think it was called Speak Like a Leader, if you recall.
Yes.
And we were all called up to tell stories. And I don't know if you remember this, but I raised my hand first to talk about myself and tell my story. And I just remember just feeling so much love, so much energy in the room, just a positive atmosphere. And what I guess I took away from that moment is how to, the facilitators understood how to set the experience for the attendees. Mm-hmm. And so I learned a valuable lesson. Now I do workshops today. So a lot of what I do is modeled after how I desire for people to experience me. And I felt like they were doing that. I don't know what you would say, Ryan, but that's what I felt.
That absolutely stands out to me as well. Just, you know, first of all, that was, I believe, the first ever Simon Sinek Start With Why course that they offered. I think we were in the very first one from what I recall. So even for the facilitators and then the people who are putting it on, it was their first time and it did not look and feel like that at all. It was truly an experience. And like you said, I've taken from that just the ability to, when you're presenting with someone or you're working with a team, it's not just about spewing information at them and giving them a presentation. It's about involving them in the presentation and about involving them in the conversations. And it didn't feel like a workshop. It felt just like an experience, like you said. As we talked about our stories, we discovered our own whys. We went through and broke down, you know, the peaks and valleys of our own story to write our why statement and to figure out our hows and our whats. And it was really awesome experience. And then to throw in the public speaking component as well, it's just one of the most valuable courses I've ever taken. And we've kept in touch Facebook and LinkedIn since then, and I've been following your career journey kind of from afar, the creation of StoryKate and whatnot. And I thought this is a fantastic opportunity. Let's have a conversation about what you're doing now, because I know firsthand the power in storytelling and how that can truly make a difference. And I'm seeing it even more firsthand as I'm trying to get better at it myself, being full-time doing organizational coaching and speaking workshops to weave more stories into it. So let's break that down and let's unpack that a little bit, because Stan, you're the man when it comes to storytelling. I've seen it firsthand. Let's talk about the power of storytelling and what are the reasons we should communicate through story. What are the kind of the benefits and perks to that? What is really the thing that sets off storytelling versus just telling results and telling outcomes?
Yeah. So you said something so valuable earlier. It's the difference between sharing information and experience. Mm-hmm. When we share information, for instance, a lot of people to have data to share in corporate America. And so they show up and they have fancy slides and graphs and charts. That doesn't tell a story. There's no heart in it. So story is the underlying heart inside the data. Mm-hmm. And so story can bring your data to life. And that's just one example. But when we're talking about sharing information, that's what most people do. And that's what we've been taught. We've been taught to share information, mm-hmm. the results. But story is why the results happened. Story is what happened because of what happened. Mm-hmm. And so story is the deeper connection. Story evokes emotion. So if you're looking to persuade, evoke emotion, these are the types of things that story can do for you. And traditionally, you know, we think of story as reserved for script writers, right, Ryan? We think
exactly movies, you know, and shows.
Movies, yeah. And shows and script writers. And what if you really understand story, and I've been steeped in story for a number of years, story is all about patterns and frameworks. Mm-hmm. And if you understand the pattern of story that works, you can set up and use these frameworks for yourself, not only in your personal life, your professional life, in interviews, when pitching, when presenting. And so there are different types of frameworks that we can learn for us. And that's what's so special about story. It's not just reserved for the screenwriters, the billion-dollar box office classics that are 20 years old that have just made hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, franchises. All of these are underpinned by great story. And so that's what I'm most interested in. And that's what I've dedicated my life to, Ryan.
And it's amazing when you can tell a good story and when you get better at it, how it builds your confidence. And it, like you mentioned, the ability to persuade and get the, and evoke that emotional aspect of what you're doing. For example, if you're in a job interview, you know, you could speak to the fact that you had these outcomes, X, Y, and Z, but if you can bring them in and have them kind of walk through the, whether it be the peaks and the valleys or just some of the high points, but having them feel that because of your story, that is what led to those outcomes, that gets them to buy in to who you are as a person, and then determining, is your story valuable and does it fit with what our needs are? You know, really establishing those meaningful relationships. I think it's one thing I've heard, I've read that you've written or you've said that telling stories, it allows you to better establish a relationship between yourself and the listener, but also you have the characters of your story that the listener then can then empathize and relate, and just kind of be drawn into what you're saying. So it draws in attention.
Yeah. I mean, you want them for sure to feel like they're a part of the story, and you can use storytelling. I like to use examples from interviews because we have to talk about ourselves in interviews. And Ryan, the way that we have been trained traditionally is to pitch yourself. I mean, you've heard the example, go sell yourself, right? I mean, how many of your supervisors in your professional career have said, Ryan, just go sell yourself? Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with that is that no one likes to be sold to. Mm-hmm. And so they're on the other side of the table. They don't want to hear you sell yourself. They actually want a story. Yeah. They desire your story, but no one has shown us how to tell our story. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing that I know about storytelling, when I teach my clients how to tell their story, it does build confidence because they don't have to necessarily be the hero and save the day in every single story that exists in their arsenal of stories, especially inside of interviews. And so there's some real interesting paradigm shifts inside storytelling and what you can do and how you can use it. But the key is frameworks and just understanding how these frameworks work. And, you know, I run into a lot of people that are great storytellers, that are really great storytellers, and that have the ability to evoke so much emotion and cause people to take action. And one thing they all have in common is that most of the time their stories aren't about them. Mm-hmm. They are about a group of people that they served. Mm-hmm. So they are telling the story from their perspective. And they are in the story, but they aren't necessarily, Ryan, the main character of the story.
And what you mentioned before about not being the hero, we're going to come back to that a little bit when we talk about the practical applications, but
sure,
that is spot on. When it comes to, you know, people want to know what's in it for them. And they also want to know, you know, how you made a difference, how you served as a leader, not necessarily the steps that you did, but like, how did it make a difference? And you hit the nail on the head there with making the others the hero is super crucial in your stories that you tell, because it's not about you. It's about how you served and made an impact. And before we dive into that a little further, can we break down what makes a good story? Kind of what's the anatomy of a good story? What are some parts that people, if they're trying to get better at storytelling, need to, if you want to break it down, how do you formulate that good story?
So this, I'm going to oversimplify here, right? The first thing is beginning, middle, end. Mm-hmm. Most people struggle with that. Most people go beginning, middle, middle. And then they try to land the plane, right? And so that is the challenge, because the way I think about story is in the workplace specifically, Ryan, our objective is to share the most amount of value in the shortest period of time. Mm-hmm. The challenge that we have is that we like to share and that runs long. And so we often find ourselves at work waiting for verbal cues to stop, waiting for other types of signals from our audience, like what you're doing right now, you know, shaking your head. Yeah, we're looking for that affirmation from someone else, and that can cause you to keep going. And so beginning, middle, end is fundamental to storytelling. Now, if we talk about framework, there are a bunch of different frameworks. But let's just talk about sharing a highlight moment. So in a highlight moment is very similar to three-act story structure, right? At the beginning of the story, there is a protagonist, hero, main character. That's not you in the stories that you have inside your career in most cases. That is the company, the organization, the people you served, the project. And that project had two distinct things that qualify that project to be the main character or protagonist in the story. That is problems and desired states. So let's do a parallel. Like Luke Skywalker had problems and desired states, right? Neo from The Matrix had problems and desired states. Katniss from The Hunger Games had problems and desired states. So when you foundationally set up a story with a good, solid main character in your career, it's not you, it's them. Why? Because you want to put the protagonist as who you serve, not necessarily you. Don't worry, though. You're in the story. You enter as the mentor. Or I call it the pathfinder. A protagonist meets a pathfinder. And the pathfinder in the story has empathy, authority, has been chosen for a reason, and you should convey those things inside of your stories. And so unlike a movie where you have a big climax and an antagonist and a villain in your career, you may not want to paint those villains up because that can be dangerous. So we go from protagonist to pathfinder, leading them to a pathway. The pathway is the solution. Now, this is step three, Ryan, in a four-step process of storytelling. This is the middle of the story.
Okay.
You are painting a solution, but here's the challenge. It's not a 46-step process, Ryan. It's 3 to 5 steps. What are the highest milestone achievements that you are able to guide your protagonist to inside the story? And finally, we close the story with a payoff. The payoff is for your hero, your protagonist. So what did they get? Did Luke blow up the Death Star? Did your project achieve its objective? Did your company get its revenue objective through your work? And so we paint the end of the story as a win for our protagonist or our hero. Now, we also receive a payoff as the mentor in that we share inside of our career stories, we can share how that made us feel. And so at the end, it's a priority. It's the priority of the payoff, the priority. They got this and I felt this way. So the four P's of storytelling, a protagonist meets a pathfinder, leading them to a pathway, ultimately resulting in a payoff.
It's a powerful way to think about it with the four P's. And you, the other P, the problem of that protagonist that they need to find a pathway through, when you highlight that early on in the story too, it draws people in to want to know, how did you solve that problem? Or how did they solve that problem? And you know, that's really, I love how you frame it. I've heard it also mentioned as the guide. You know, for example, I consider myself a guide when I give workshops or when I'm organizational coaching situation, because it's not about me, it's about them coming up with the solutions, them having the pathway to success, and I'm trying to guide them through the different logistics, the dynamics, guide them to the right answers by asking the right questions, and very similar to what you're talking about. So I love that. I've never heard it. I've never heard stories, the concept of a story framed that way, other the way that you just did. That's very powerful.
Yeah. So I didn't invent storytelling, as you know, right? Storytelling frameworks are around. You've got Joseph Campbell, The Hero's Journey. You've got Donald Miller does a wonderful job for marketing, right? The story brand, SP7. Yes,
story brand's fantastic.
It's generally for marketing. The thing that I'm doing is teaching people storytelling for their self and their career. And so I had to simplify this thing down to four steps, because when you're in an interview, when you're preparing for a presentation, a pitch, it needs to be simple. And you need to memorize it. And what I desire for my clients, and what they desire, what they tell me they want, is to be able to use the framework in real time. Mm-hmm. And so the four P's provides that framework for them. And it's really, stories answer questions. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just answering questions. And so that's the exciting part of the work that I'm doing. I'm able to help people change their language and the language that they communicate about themselves. And that's the exciting part of my work.
And I've seen written in your work the concept of helping people overcome the moments in their career and their lives where they get stuck, stalled, and stagnant. Yeah. And that's also powerful because we do get stuck, stalled, and stagnant. We just start going through the motions because we get into our routine. And I think one of the most powerful ways to break out of that, and I want to dive into this with you, when you think about making the others heroes or serving others, when you get out of your own head of like, I'm stuck, I'm stalled, and you switch to a mindset of who else could I help that I haven't helped yet? Or how mm-hmm. can I help them in a way that I haven't tried or attempted yet, or that I've failed and I need to do it in a different way? And when you switch your mindset to a servant mindset of helping and serving others, it helps you break away from that I'm stuck mindset, because that's something you can control. You can't control what other people are doing, but you can control how you can help and offer help and support or take actions to make something better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's so many challenges associated with what you just said. Mm-hmm. People who are stuck get complacent. Mm-hmm. They generally feel safe, and then something bad happens. Hmm. Or something unexpected happens in their career. We're talking about careers now.
Right.
And what I like to do is when I go through these storytelling exercises with people, it serves as a mirror. It's a reflection on who they are. They don't reflect on the things that they've done. I mean, think about it. We do it once a year in annual reviews. And I know that's changing, and the pendulum is shifting over to real-time coaching and some of the more advanced techniques that are being taught. But for the most of the large companies, it's still annual reviews. Mm-hmm. And so what happens in an annual review? Well, I have to reflect. I forgot about most of the things that I have done great this year. And then I've got to reflect. And what we're trying to do and what I'm really focused on is pulling up that mirror for them so that they can see the wonderful things that they've done, the people they've helped, the problems they've solved, the desires that they've helped meet, mm-hmm. and how they've done that work. And so when they have the ability to say that about them, they're just empowered to feel better about their contribution, whether it's at their existing company or at the future company. Mm-hmm. Because if you go to interview in a future with a future company, what do they want to know? I mean, what would you say? All right, here's a question for you. What would you say in an interview? What do people want to know about you if you're interviewing at a company? What do you think they want to know?
The gut reaction that a lot of people have is they you know, what are my accomplishments? What are the great things they did? But that's really not necessarily what they want to hear. They want to hear, how can you make a difference? If you were to come on their team, how would you serve and make a difference so they could invest in you and make it worthwhile? That's how I kind of think about it.
You're exactly right, Ryan. You think about it the right way. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're trained though is the opposite. Sure. Accolades, awards, achievements, accolades. Yeah. I mean, we can just load up highlight reels and go to the interview. Mm-hmm. That's not what they want. What they want to know is three things: who you help, how, and what I can get in return for that help. Mm-hmm. And there isn't a better way, Ryan, to share that than show them and teach them how you've helped others. And so there isn't a better way for me to communicate to you how I help and talk about what I've done for someone else. And so when you master that, the interviewing process becomes very easy. And you can tell instantly if you're a good fit. Mm-hmm. Now, if you get to mastery level at some of this stuff, it looks a little different, because you go into an interview, Ryan, and you start thinking about, okay, I'm inside an interview. Ryan, if you're interviewing me, I'm thinking, what are Ryan's problems and desires? Because mm-hmm. if I have similar people that I've served in the past, don't I want to tell the stories to Ryan of the people that are similar to him, that so I've helped.
Relate.
You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. It's now I am resonating. My stories are resonating with Ryan. And so this is why information and interview questions are so important.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into this trap of doing so much research about the 14 interview questions that we can ask. And we end up asking questions like, tell me about your benefits or your culture fit and all this. And that's, there's a time and a place for that.
Yeah.
But what we should be asking, in my opinion, is what are the deepest problems you have today? And what happens if you do not solve them?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I can get that information, now I have a framework that you've given me to tell you which stories I can select from my past that are going to resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
Real paradigm shift stuff.
So let's take that. Mm-hmm. Let's take that, Stan, and flip it to the concept of turnover and employee engagement. Employee satisfaction levels are significantly like in the dirt right now in a lot of professions, mm-hmm. and a lot of professional realms.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine what things might be like if we had more environments that urged storytelling and sharing of stories amongst team members in the workplace, but more importantly, had an environment where people felt comfortable doing that. And they didn't have walls built up that were creating defensiveness and holding back. You know, we have leaders who maybe ask for their team members to share their stories. But going back to your other question about what happens if we don't solve these problems, I think we get so focused on identifying what the problems are and not going to that next level, like you said, about, well, okay, these are the problems, but if we don't solve them, what else can happen? And then that's where knowing your team and their stories, you can discover, hey, I've got the resources internally. I don't got to go out and find it. I've got the resources internally because we've talked about what this problem is and what it could lead to. And I've given my team an opportunity, an open floor concept to share their stories to help us come up with some solutions, because maybe some of them have solved something that resonates with this problem. So I think that it's not just about seeking new jobs. It's like if we invest in this internally and get that two-directional, that multi-directional communication going, but in the form of sharing stories, not only are we going to, I think, solve more problems, but also we're going to connect, going back to that original point earlier, the relationships are deeper. You're going to connect with your fellow colleagues, your team members on a deeper level, because you're going to understand them as humans and see them as humans versus just, you know, pawns and chess pieces.
That's right. You're exactly right. And I think about the question you just surfaced as, and I coach executive leaders, CEOs, founders of companies.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one story that we talk about being the most impactful type of story is a valley story, not a peak highlight moment.
Mm-hmm.
And your employees, if you're an executive, your employees aren't going to show up and just be vulnerable. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
If you set the tone, though, being vulnerable, talking about your own peak story, mm-hmm. talking about your own valley story and how you failed at some decisions that you made that weren't the right decisions and what you've learned from those decisions, if you start sharing those moments with your employees, they won't be so fearful of failure inside your organization.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is that, you know, a lot of CEOs believe that, you know, they're there to save the company.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's okay mm-hmm. in certain circumstances, but really you want your employees following you as a Yoda, as an Obi-Wan and not a Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guide is going to, the guide or the mentor or the pathfinder is going to teach you how to be the Jedi. And so the best leaders that I run into, am fortunate enough to coach and interact with, have this gift of vulnerability.
Mm.
And when you can share and be vulnerable as a leader, it does wonders inside your organization. And it does transform the culture.
And everyone should watch Brené Brown's TED Talks.
Yeah, of course. There are plenty of those out there for sure.
That concept of vulnerability, and I've actually had a lot of conversations recently, and just with organizational leaders and whatnot, and that topic comes up, and a lot of them will say, I'm afraid to admit my mistakes because I might come across as weak to my team. To which I then challenge them and say, how do you expect your team to feel comfortable coming to you when they've made a mistake if they feel that you don't accept them, or that you don't acknowledge your own poor judgment, poor choices, poor mistakes? And I think vulnerability, just to echo your point, vulnerability as a leader, when used in the right way, is super powerful and can bring teams together. And it takes that leadership dynamic from being like, here's the leader and here's the rest of the team, to here. And sure. Then you have that shared accountability. You have that effective interdependence of everybody working together, solving each other's problems, but also being able to say, I screwed up. I need help. And not necessarily saying that in a way that you're giving up or that you are weak. It's just you acknowledging it. And then we can't change it. Let's grow from it. Let's learn and let's move forward as a team. Help me figure it out.
That's right. And vulnerability breeds vulnerability. So if at the top, executive leaders are willing to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. you're more likely to have team members, leaders. It's more likely to trickle down. Yeah. And people are going to be more vulnerable about the things that they don't know, the things that they're trying to figure out, the things that they desperately need help with, instead of just going at it and hiding a failure. Mm-hmm. They might come forward, yeah. and they might say, hey, maybe I should know this, but I am in the dark on this, mm-hmm. and I need some help. And it also can avoid failure.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the type of thing I know that you focus on with your practice, and it's wonderful work, helping teams grow, get more interconnected with each other, trust each other. And so it's definitely good work, and thank you for doing it.
No, you're welcome. It brings me fulfillment when I can see others thriving because they've come together at a deeper level. And it was as I've been a leader over the last decade for teams extensively growing, like, it always brought me the most fulfillment when I saw the other people on my team solving the problems, the other people on our team growing internally, getting promotions, stepping up in times of chaos, the COVID situation where we had to adapt and shift gears and do other jobs that we were not in our job descriptions, but it kept everybody employed and we had new leaders rise up. It was just so fulfilling to see that. And it keeps you going when you're a leader. Sure. You see that happening. It keeps your drive there and your passion because you feel like you're making a difference. But one of the biggest things that stands out to me was I've had multiple situations in my life where I've tragically lost a family member at a very young age, and they were both within the last 7 years. And during those times, my team stepped up when I was just vulnerable with them about how I was feeling and what I was dealing with and how I was going through that, how my family was dealing with that tragedy. And just the way people would step up, even without having to ask them to take care of stuff. It was just taking care of. And that was like a time that was a reflection point in my leadership journey that made me realize, you know what, as long as you invest in the environment and the systems and the people, you don't have to micromanage it. You don't have to control it. It happens organically because you got great people in great places. And then when tragedy happens, when those valleys happen, that shines through. Where people yeah. really step up and make yeah. a difference. And that's because of, I think that's truly because of vulnerability, of being open and allowing yourself to take a step back or to expose mm-hmm. areas you need to be better at, and then allowing your team to step up in those areas or help you with those. And that was a very crucial tipping point in my leadership career that made me just take a different mindset on things and allow me to feel more comfortable with that vulnerability.
Yeah. I mean, what you're talking about now to me is, you know, past, present, and future narratives. And, mm-hmm. and so really what you've done in explaining this is they had your back.
Mm-hmm.
You've built the trust. And because of that investment you've made, when it mattered most to you, they had your back. And so when you're going through a present day narrative that involves a loss of a family member and they see you going through that, they think, okay, I've got to have his back because he's had my back. Mm-hmm. And that's just a beautiful display of the leadership that, you know, that is a display of leadership from you also and your team. Because you being a leader willing to share it with them is part one. Mm-hmm. Part two is them willing to say, we have your back, Ryan. And that's, it's all story. Mm-hmm. Because had you held those stories in, and let's just say you didn't tell them and you sort of were flaking out a bit and weren't as present,
mm-hmm.
then that could have made your leadership start to deteriorate inside the organization. But you didn't do that. You decided to tell them the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that just works. It just works.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing to think about that level of connectedness. And that's what ultimately we would hopefully all want in a workplace mm-hmm. where we spend so much time and energy of our life. We spend a majority of our hours mm-hmm. doing our job.
Right.
Just to live outside of our job. And that puts it into a perspective of what can we take ownership to make our environment better that we work in? And a big part of that is open and that workplace camaraderie and being able mm-hmm. to share stories, being able to be vulnerable, be there for one another. And again, going back to the original topic of this conversation,
mm-hmm.
learning from the stories of others.
That's right.
Versus just yep. learning from their accomplishments. Mm-hmm. is the thing that can get you to that next level in your own decision-making process or as a team solving the problems that are repeated and coming up when you're listening to those stories and the themes within those stories. So that's such a powerful, powerful thing.
Yeah, it's so funny that, you know, I think about this storytelling and again, in our careers, you know, we have these past narratives, we have these past stories.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us don't think about the past. We're always talking about our future goals.
Mm-hmm.
We're writing our goals down. We have templates and SMART goals and all of this great stuff that we use.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is when you have to get to the next level. So when you are challenged with getting to the next threshold and the next level, oftentimes you must call upon your past to unlock the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes when you call upon your past and you haven't done the story work and don't know the stories and how to articulate those, there's no one answering. And so if you are really good, I mean, solid on telling your past stories, you have the potential to unlock your future and your future mm-hmm. narratives. But you must pass go,
mm-hmm.
right? So think about it. I mean, in an interview, in an executive meeting, you're meeting that VP or that C-level executive, communicating what you've done in the past is so critically important. But we've convinced ourselves inside of many of these corporate spaces that we spend so much time talking about what we want. And it's okay to know and be confident in what you want, but understand many times what you say about your past will unlock that future.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's past, present, and future narrative.
Powerful, powerful stuff.
Thank you, sir.
I think it's easy to get stuck in the past. And then when you think about that past narrative and you leverage it to how can I make my future narrative better?
Yep.
Based on my present dynamics and the as is. Like mm-hmm. that's where it all ties together.
Yeah.
So that's a great way to wrap that up. And before we get, I want to give one last final call to action, Stan, for you. But again, if people want to follow you, of course they can find Stan Miller on LinkedIn, on Instagram and Facebook. If you search Career Storyteller, can find you there as well. Storycate.com. That's StoriCate.com. All those will be in the show notes for the show, as well as a link to your LinkedIn profile, because you do a lot of great content on there. I'm always learning about the stuff from the stuff that you're posting. But Stan, before we wrap up, what is like your biggest advice for someone maybe who struggles with storytelling? Kind of where should they start? Pick that first step to unlock that power a little better.
Yeah. So the first step is really understanding the framework. Right. And so if you can understand the framework and the questions that good stories answer about your past, that's a great first step. Mm-hmm. And I would stick to a peak story. Mm-hmm. So a highlight reel moment is okay. Who did you serve in that moment? What were their problems? What were their desired states? Why were you picked? How did you empathize with them? Did you have some authority to help them solve the problem? What steps did you take and what did they get? Is the way forward. Now, there are some more advanced techniques that you can jump into, but if you can just understand how to tell a highlight real moment about your past and deliver it in a short period of time with confidence and conviction, that's a really good first step. Now, if you're listening to this and you're interested in storytelling, you can always just send me a DM. I have plenty of free trainings, resources for everybody to enjoy. I also have a storyteller training that I do, one-on-one coaching, and I have a community as well. So I've got lots of resources for people.
Yeah, it's the Career Storyteller Academy, correct?
Yeah, I do the Academy, which is really one-on-one training. And then mm-hmm. I have a Career Co-Pilot, which is really for job seekers and helping them get through that interview process and find what's next. And so that's a community-based platform. And, you know, I'm all in on storytelling, my friend. Mm-hmm. And so this is the thing that I love to do and have seen a lot of people accelerate their careers and want to do more of that work.
Well, it's a good work, Stan. You're doing very valuable things. You are appreciated in what you do. So thank you for your investment in serving others through this, because it's something we don't think about. And it's something that can be, quite honestly, a game changer if you really invest it into it purposefully and mindfully. So Stan, thank you for sharing your stories today and telling us more about how we can be more impactful through our stories. Again, Stan's contact information is in the show notes. Definitely connect with him afterwards. I hope you have a great day, Stan. It was so great to see you. And hopefully sometime in the near future, we can reconnect in person sometime. I'm happy to come down to Florida anytime.
Everyone is okay with coming to Florida. Yes, I get it. If you're ever in Florida, we will connect in person for sure. So please be sure to let me know. And it's always good to stay in touch. Mm-hmm. After even 10 years, we've still been connected and in touch. And it was that one experience that connected us and that mm-hmm. has kept us connected. So I just appreciate that experience and appreciate the work you're doing as well. And it is a gift and an honor to be here with you and serving your audience as well. So thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, sir. High five. Right.
High five.
Doing great things, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Take care.
Take care.